Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, I am privileged to welcome Pramit Bhargav to our show. Pramit, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh, for inviting me.
Thank you. Pramit is the founder of Louis Voice Control, an accessibility app that can be used by all voice lovers. He is visually impaired owing to the side effect of a medicine. He's from IIT and Indian Institute of Management. He has worked for Unilever, Motorola, and Quest Diagnostics. So, Pramit, what would you say are three key milestones in your career or your life?
Oh, actually, they have changed as I sort of, you know, grew up. So of course, early in life, you want to educate yourself well. And then, I would say till about 10 years back, uh-huh. My life was completely about running,
correct,
trying to go up the corporate ladder. Mm-hmm. And that was seemed to be just a single-minded objective to the exclusion of my health, family. I mean, of course, I was giving time, but then, you know, I mean, probably, you know, just giving time, mm-hmm. Probably not even focused on, during my conversations. So I think from there, I have actually, you know, turned my life to, you know, because these questions started coming, mm-hmm. Where am I running? What am I doing? Why am I here on earth? Mm-hmm. You know, and try to find what is it that I would really want to do.
Okay.
And can I make, you know, make a transition from a highly selfish transactional life to, you know, being able to give something back to the society, to work in a non-selfish way for others.
Okay.
So this is the path that I'm on right mm-hmm. now. So this is what really drives me.
Okay.
And I think Louis Voice Control or, you know, it's just part of that, that journey.
Okay. So let me ask you a question, you know, what was your reaction when you understood the side effects of the medicine that you had taken?
Okay, so this drug was given to me almost 23 years back.
Right.
And I was just told in passing that, you know, in some people, so I didn't really, you know, and that time I was very young, so I didn't, you know, really also take it very, very seriously.
Right.
And I think this was like 1999, when I suddenly realized, mm-hmm. and this was, I don't know whether it happened overnight, how it happened, but my vision had dropped drastically. I went to doctors, okay. And they said, how can your vision drop so much and you won't come to know? Mm-hmm. And I was at that time working with Unilever. I was handling Lux, so it required actually looking at fine artworks and so on.
Okay.
PowerPoint presentations.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, initial reaction was one of shock, of mm-hmm. course, you know. And then, I still had enough vision to sort mm-hmm. of manage. I was getting some correction. I think the real looking into the eye of the monster that happened when, you know, my vision kept dropping.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about 8 years, 9 years back when mm-hmm. I realized, and now I cannot read anything at all. Everything was wavy, couldn't mm-hmm. read. My vision was dropping fast.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it hit me.
Okay.
So suddenly I realized the technology, whatever I was using, suddenly, you know, it was of no use. I was just mm-hmm. sitting at home. I lost confidence, honestly. Okay. I had all these devils running through my mind. Can I do this? Will I be able to do that? And I was mm-hmm. trying to just relive what I had done earlier in the past. So every time I'll think of presentations, Excel sheets, and I'll say, oh, I can't do it. So I was in this lost phase for about mm-hmm. 2.5, 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it both, in some sense from outside, it looks like, something very tough, but somewhere from inside, I was sort of still relaxed. And I think there is a lot of learning again, which happened during this phase.
Hmm.
And a lot of life lessons I learned and then slowly got out of it.
So that's very, very fascinating. So why don't you share with us some of the lessons that you learned? I mean, when you realized that your whole life is going to change.
Yeah. So I think, okay. So one, I'll tell you, so right around the time, like I said, all these questions were coming. Where am I running? Why am I here? And this was also a time I got introduced to autobiography of a yogi, from Yogananda Paramahans. And I mm-hmm. actually got into meditation, spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, a lot of these answers that I was looking for started making sense. So mm-hmm. far as an IT engineer, I'm graduate, I had this mindset, I know everything,
right.
You know, whatever is there is to know. And I will question everything, extremely left-brained.
Hmm.
And suddenly I realized that, look, there is so much in life I know nothing about. So I actually, just made a complete, shift from saying I know everything to saying, okay, I know nothing. And I think on this journey, I think being unraveling and figuring out what life is all about, understanding spirituality, understand, you know, how divine forces can play a role.
Correct.
I think that really helped me. So there was this funny thing that, you know, during this phase, this lost phase, most people will take on to drinking. They will get into depression. You know, I actually stopped drinking. I stopped non-veg. I was actually happy from inside. Now, this is a very funny thing. I was sitting at home, not earning anything. And you know how it is. Lifestyle of the family goes up. Right. So, you know, money is like just flowing out of the bank accounts.
True.
So, I think this period helped me understand, who am I? What can I do? And I think other thing which happened, and there was one friend who actually told me that, look, why are you living in the past? Look at what is it that you really want to do. And I think our inner voice tells us, but I think we probably, you know, a lot of us as professionals just get trained not to, you know, listen to it. At least I was like that.
No, you're right.
So, you know, this shook me up and I said, yes, I got to see what is it that I really want to do. And the answers came. And so answers very quickly started coming the moment I sort of opened up onto that. So I knew that, you know, I wanted to do consulting in a different way. I knew that, you know, like I said, I wanted to contribute back to the society. I wanted to live less of a selfish transaction life. And I think, you know, all of that was happening. So this 2-3 years was a period of big change. I was also struggling with technology. So I think a lot of thoughts in terms of, you know, what is a good technology for a visually impaired? Because what I can tell you is that if you are sighted and you are losing your vision and suddenly you encounter a screen reader, I mean, you know, first time I didn't even know how to get out of it.
Correct.
I restarted the phone multiple times, then finally Google, you know, I had to Google how to get out of it.
Right.
So yes, all kind of experiences, but they really
fantastic. Helped. Fantastic. So Pramit, now let's talk about Louis Voice Control. Tell me about this venture.
Okay, so the thought is actually very, very simple. And in fact, it just surprises me that we are today, Louis is the only app which is actually doing it this way. The thought is so simple as to, you know, you just with voice commands, one should be able to control popular apps as well as all the phone functionalities.
Okay.
So this is just what Louis does. Now, I think what is special about it is, and probably that's why probably we are differentiated, that we started off thinking of the core use case of a blind person who cannot see the screen at all. So because it was so focused with that person in mind, so what it required, so one, it required functionality that look, each and everything within an app. So for example, today if we do Uber, for example, WhatsApp, YouTube, contacts, phone calling, text messaging. Now each and everything within, let's say, an Uber booking, I should be able to do as effectively as a sighted person, but with just voice commands, without being able to even see the screen. So that is, you know, one major differentiator. And then secondly, this required a continuous voice interaction between Louis and the user. Now this again, something even the voice assistants, Alexa, Google, Siri, they don't do it, that continuous voice interaction. And it also meant that, the voice assistants today, they just tend to, you know, always start from scratch first time. And they will tend to keep going silent. So as a user, you know, it's very difficult to get, anything great done out of an app. Louis just starts off from wherever screen. So you can have a screen called Louis and it just starts from that screen automatically. So I may be doing something, it just takes me forward from there.
Very interesting. And, you know, when you were going through this whole process of conceiving it, at what stage did you have what you would call an aha moment that I've found what I wanted to do?
Correct. So let me just tell you. So I actually, there's an MD of a venture capital company. He put in this thought in my mind and he has been helping me all along. And I was, you know, trying to tell him this is not good, that is not good. And he turned around after 6 months. He said, look, I've heard enough of, you know, what is not good. Tell me what is good. So, and I can tell you it's so difficult. You know, it's easy to, you know, crib around it. So, and then it just so happened, as a matter of chance, I had gone to meet a friend and he took my smartphone on the way back. He said, let me book Uber for you. And he asked me where you want to go. He put it in Uber and he said, these are three destination options. I said, okay, take this one. He said, these are the rides, fare. I said, okay, take this particular ride. And then how will I pay? He confirmed that. And then he even, booked and then called the driver for me. And then in the Uber, it just hit me, that aha moment, eureka moment, whatever you call it. And he said, boy, that was some experience. And you know, great thing, as a visually impaired, you want to be independent, but you want to be also in control. Now, here it was highly convenient. I was all along in control. And I just love that experience. And I said, what if I can create a virtual friend right on the fourth screen, which will do exactly the same experience, the same, you know, kind of effectiveness for me. And that's how, you know, Louis Voice Control was born.
Okay, very interesting. And, you know, what were the steps that you took while you were developing this particular app? And what were some of your challenges?
Okay, I'll talk to you more about challenges, stupidities, failures. You know, so I think initially, first thing we did, we went to Play Store because the idea came. And typically on Play Store, App Store, you'll find one app and then there are 50 apps of similar kind. Here, there was nothing. There was no screen reader. There was nothing like this voice control kind of a thing. There were one or two apps. They were similar to Google Voice Assistant, so not very different. We immediately knew that, look, something is wrong because the idea is so simple. So cannot be that, you know, people haven't thought of it. Then there's something tricky in the technology. So I think that was the major challenge. And we did a couple of companies actually helped us pro bono, helped us, you know, do some kind of feasibility, very basic prototypes. It just showed that possible, doable. So 2.5 years back, we started the company. And let me tell you, first 5 months, not a single line of code written because there were certain milestones we wanted to achieve. Okay, can we do this? Can we do this? Can we do this? It took us 5 months to crack that. So there were all these, you know, moments when, you know, I was just wondering whether we will, you know, be just wasting investors' money because we were like a funded startup day one.
Right.
I think then we sort of just moved from strength to strength, having got that. I think then it became important, how do you deliver user experience? Sometimes in a tech company, and we, you know, sometimes we over-focus on technology. And I quickly realized that, look, if it's a blind person or even a sighted person, they're not really seeing the technology within the phone.
Right.
So how do you make it usable? How do you deliver that right user experience? So we finally did that about 1.5 years back. We said, okay, let's put it in the hands of the users because that's again very important.
Correct.
And honestly, at that point of time, my thoughts, first thoughts were, look, am I the only idiot in the world who's going to use Louis? So I wanted to really try it out, get feedback and be sure that are we in the right direction? Then of course there were challenges of, can we scale it up? Can we create an architecture which can, you know, help us to voice enable many more apps? Can we keep a uniform experience across? And I think right now we are in a phase where we have users in about 70 countries. We are trying to expand the user base. And it's only last 5-6 weeks that we started talking about Louis to the world. And the most important thing for me, if you ask me if there is one thing, you know, which I would say, yes, we are, you know, I think, you know, sometimes what happens, apps sound interesting. There's a lot of trial happens, but then, you know, they can be flavor of the month or, you know, year and then disappear. So important thing for me was, are we meeting a need? I mean, is this kind of an app really needed by the users? And right now the focus is completely on visually impaired. So I think the answer there too is, you know, where, you know, all indications are that, yes, I mean, we are on the right direction.
Interesting. And how does Louis compare with the three biggies, you know, Alexa, Google and Siri?
Okay, so you know, say important thing is that there is actually no direct comparison in the sense that they are great. I personally have an Alexa speaker. I use Alexa. I use Google Assistant. I use Siri also.
Correct.
I have multiple phones. Now, they are great. So like yesterday, it was raining in Delhi. So I needed to know, you know, will it continue to rain? What's the temperature? I mean, they're great for a lot of things.
Right.
For news, for example. But, you know, if your need is that, let's say, you know, this is something, let's say, what I have seen is good for visually impaired, for motor disabled, for elderly people, for any voice lover. Where in a hands-free manner, you want to be able to do everything within an app or, you know, the phone features, etc. Now, that's something which only Louis does. So, like I said, it's the only app which will do continuous voice interaction, do each and everything within an app with just voice commands. And it can start from anywhere, so it can just take off from anywhere. So I think there are big differences, but I keep telling everybody that, look, I think all apps, more apps that come in, I think everybody comes from a different perspective and bring in a different value addition to the user.
Very interesting. And you know, it's often now being talked about, saying that the future of voice as the preferred means of communication is much better than the written word. In fact, I have now stopped reading. I listen to everything on Audible, for example. What are your thoughts on the future of voice as a means of communication to devices?
So initially, I'll tell you. So this was actually one of our investors who actually told me, initially we started with our screen reader technology. And he said, look, you know, few years from now, I mean, he's somebody who looks into the future. And he said, look, screens may disappear. What will you do with smart speakers and whatnot? right? Cars you can talk to and gadgets you can talk to.
Correct.
And I was, you know, of course, being very defensive and being very stupid. And I said, no. I was trying to give all kind of logical reasoning, etc. But, you know, after the call, he said, I said, look, there is something in what he said. Okay, so I 15 days, I just shut myself up with, you know, at that time, there was a Google Assistant and Siri.
Right.
I just played around with that, just trying to understand, you know, what are they good at, etc. And one thing I can tell you, my own personal experience, and I've seen it, happening with a lot of people, is that voice, when you once you start playing with voice, start using it, it's very, very addictive.
Correct.
I mean, it's just so convenient. You and I are talking, it's the most natural, voice is the most natural form of communication.
Correct.
And I think today technologies are just getting better and better. They can understand you better. You know, like even if Audible is there, you can, you know, you can, okay, Audible, these are recorded audiobooks.
Correct.
But if you see screen readers, even if you see Louis, you can set any voice, any text-to-speech engine, whatever you're comfortable at, because it's talking back to you.
Okay.
So today there's so much technology, it understands you easily. It, you know, it can speak in whichever way, voice you want. So I think I have absolutely no doubt that this is the most convenient way.
Fantastic.
And you know, it will keep becoming bigger and bigger. Like I said, it's highly addictive.
Hmm.
So I know there are a lot of people still having, you know, that resistance, right? But
and,
change.
And are you planning to add another feature to your, you know, voice app, which is text, voice to text?
Yeah. So actually, yes. In fact, I'll give you one example. Now, let's take, and this is something, you know, I'm very sure we'll be able to do. So Instagram is the hottest, you know, today's social media
platform.
There.
Yeah.
And if you see, not even 0.1% of visually impaired people are on Instagram.
Right.
They're just not there. And reason, because it's so visual. Now we're just integrating a technology which will be able to read out images, which will be able to read out text on images.
Correct.
So suddenly, so you're right. So the moment this whole voice, text, image, I mean, the whole thing comes together and, you know, suddenly the world opens up for so many people.
Very interesting.
So, and it's going to happen all the time. I think with all these, you know, various sensors, radars, you know, all of it getting integrated, special glasses. So I think, yes, so there's huge opportunities. With
Fantastic. So one more question for you on Louis Voice before I move to some other questions. Where can the, you know, thousands of people who will listen to you and me speaking, where can they download this app?
Okay, it's on Play Store right now. iPhone, we haven't done it yet. So because we just want to focus on one thing initially, get it right. So it's in right now Android English, available on Play Store for anybody to download.
Okay.
And please give me feedback. That's very important.
Okay.
That's the only way we can improve the app.
So people just go and look for Louis Voice Control.
Louis Voice Control, yeah. And Louis spelled out as L-O-U-I-E.
Perfect. So, you know, let me now move to a few more questions. Tell me, what are some of the core values you believe in as you've been building, you know, Louis Voice Control and everything else that you've been doing?
Okay. See, I think first one, if you ask me, you know, I used to be in Unilever. I used to handle Lux as the brand manager, right? And it's a big commercial success. But I always felt that, look, there was something empty in it. You know, it was not substantive. You know, here was this very average piece of product, you know, which film stars actually didn't use, but being, you know, called beauty soap of film stars. So I think the first thing I said, look, this entire venture has to be honest and transparent. So this has to be about real delivery. Can we build an app? And like I said, the feedback I was looking for, is it really creating an impact? Is it really something that I really want? You know, is it meeting a need? So that's, I think, you know, to my mind, the first thing that I'm very, very clear. So, you know, therefore the organization, the way we run it is again, very, very transparent. By the way, we are running out of money in Feb. I'm trying to raise more money.
Okay.
So my team members actually know it, so, you know, and the reason is because, you know, I'm trying to create a sense that, look, we are in this boat together and, you know, therefore the egos, the politics, all that, you know, everything that I experienced, which was not great in all of these multinational organizations, startups, you know, I'm trying to keep it, you know, very, very close teamwork. We are on this together and, you know, either we all win or nobody wins, you know, kind of thing. So these are like some of the things that, you know, that I think a very different way I'm driving this whole venture.
Terrific. So Pranta, I'm going to now move to the last segment of our conversation, which is some questions for you personally. Incredible academic record of IIT, IIM, brand manager, young age, did all kinds of things, went through your challenges, now are rebuilding another fascinating business. What does success mean to Pramit?
Okay. So again, you know, why I'm laughing, because 10 years, 20 years back, you know, I would have said Pramit, this great guy, or whatever.
Yeah.
No, I think today, if you ask me, like I said, if I can contribute in any way in making this world better. And so even Louis, I think, you know, yes, there is a, you know, of course, a financial stake. And we want to, obviously, as a company, it's important that even as a social venture, you are sustainable and profitable.
Correct.
But otherwise, there is this whole fire that can I do contribute something in a very non-transactional way, in a non-selfish way, something that can really help people. And I honestly don't care about Pramit. I keep telling, you know, even journalists, don't write about Pramit, write about Louis. So so I think that's what really life for me is today all about.
Okay. My next question, which is, you know, a normal segue from my earlier question on success, is that where do you keep getting your inspiration from to keep doing such amazing things?
See, again, you know, two things. I think one, I'm trying to solve my own problem, obviously, right? So I think there is this whole motivation. And like I said, the more I hear back from users every day, you know, a lot of people in the community have my mobile number, have my email ID, and I get calls directly. People connect on WhatsApp across the world. So when I talk to them and I get this feel that, look, we are on the right direction. Of course, there may be bugs. Of course, there are things to be improved. There are new features to be put in, etc. So I think that's one major motivation. And to be honest, ever since, you know, I started realizing as I was into meditation, etc., that, look, there are higher divine forces, bigger forces, which, you know, are really helping out. And I would say Louis is actually a product of that. So a lot of times I just think myself of, you know, some kind of an instrument, some kind of a, you know, device that is being used to actually do all of this. And that sort of helps me, like I said, keep the ego down. There is can be a founder's ego also. If a user doesn't like your product, the user is an idiot, you know, all of that. So just trying to, you know, and I think that's what really keeps me, and I'm really enjoying, honestly.
Very nice. You know, so I've got time for two more questions for you. My next question is on failure. You know, I have a new book coming out also on failure, and it has again been my view that Asian parents, including Indian parents, don't teach children it's okay to fail.
Right.
And that manifests itself in our behavior patterns as we are going. You know, we have to be first. We have to be ahead of the queue. We, our car must be right first off the traffic light, etc., etc. Yet we fail all the time. So my question to you, Pramit, is what have been some of your learnings from some of your mistakes or failures?
Also, you know, when I look back at life, so, you know, you're right. So we tend to be risk averse, et cetera, et cetera. But some of my major learnings have actually been when I failed. So there was, for example, one stupidity, you know, big failure when I was handling Lux. And I got blasted by the chairman of the company. And, I, you know, today, if you ask me, that was the one period, you know, one incident which really has shaped how I, you know, how I started looking at business and life. That's one. Number two, I think there have been all along very, very, you know, all these failures. And sometimes when you analyze it, you know, a lot of these failures come out of, you know, just being egoistic or just being too much, you know, thinking about yourself. And, you know, I think part of that whole thing as you change is, you know, trying to understand, okay, you know, so failure is not, don't look at it as a failure, you know, as something, you know, which has taken you down, but there's always a huge learning. And I think the startup has been like that. So today we experiment so much. You know, sometimes we get it right. Sometimes we don't get it right. Sometimes, you know, in beta, we are just pushing out half big things just to see, you know, what's the response initially. So I would say, yes, I completely agree with you that there is, you know, that aspect of how much you can learn from failure. I think that probably never gets highlighted anywhere. And we just look at, you know, so school marks at the school, you know, but then we don't sort of realize that maybe the marks are lower because maybe the, you know, the interests are somewhere else. Maybe the capabilities are somewhere else. So that's the other, I think, related aspect. Fantastic. And I think I have also shifted. So like you said, IIT, IIM, you know, there's a standard path. So you would be today heading a multinational or whatever. And I'm actually happy, you know, I'm not earning, the, of course, any of, you know, that. But I'm actually far happier doing what I really like.
Fantastic. So Pramit, I've come to the end of our conversation. Thank you very much. I wish you and Louis Voice Control lots and lots of success. I am certainly going to download it and try it out. And wish you all the very best.
Thank you, Ashutosh, and thank you for your kind support.
Thank you for listening to the brand called You Videocast and Podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.